your spirit now.
And we are hungry to know you more.
Stretch forth your hand to me, to you my heart restore.
Fall on me, Holy Spirit of God, fall on me. Fill my heart with your fire, fall on me. You alone I desire, come Lord, fall on me.
Come quickly, Holy One, stretch forth your hand, bend down and lift me up, and breathe on me again.
Fall on me, Holy Spirit of God, fall on me. Fill my heart with your fire, fall on me. Alone I desire, come
Lord, fall on me.
Fall on me, Holy Spirit of God, fall on me. Fill my heart with your fire, fall on me. You alone I desire, come
bound. And you are faithful to release your spirit now.
And we are hungry to know you.
Shabbat Shalom. It is good to see so many people here today, and good to see some old friends back. Well, are we ready to join the main line of our journey in discovery?
Yes.
So far, the feedback to these messages has been in the main positive, and for that, I am very encouraged. Now, let's continue the ongoing excursion. Abba Father, great and mighty Jehovah, I pray that our hearts and minds are open to your teaching today. Because I know that some of the things that we're going to hear will be strange and foreign to our ears. And as such, we may find disturbing, we may find unusual, and an initial reaction may be dismissive, but I pray, Abba, that you keep our hearts open so that we can reflect upon the words that you have given us. In your beloved name, I pray. Amen. Last Shabbat, I shared with you the two commands Adonai Yeshua gave his disciples, and by extension, us today. Love Yehovah with all your hearts, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. As any good archaeologist will tell us, when we come to evidence of hidden treasure, take the time to explore it carefully. Brush through the sand and silt carefully so as not to disturb what lies beneath. In uncovering, and in particular, unpacking what is meant by loving Yehovah with our hearts, souls, and might, we need to visit Torah, specifically the Ten Commandments. These we find in Exodus 20. Commandment 1, well, it's not really a commandment, it's more of a proclamation. I am Adonai your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery. Command number 2, you are to have no other gods before me. You are not to make for yourselves a carved image or any kind of representation of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath or in the water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them. For I, Yehovah, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot. Commandment 3. You are not to use lightly the name of Yehovah your God, because Yehovah will not leave unpunished anyone who uses his name lightly. Commandment number 4. Remember the day, Shabbat, to set it apart for Yehovah. You have 6 days to labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Shabbat for Adonai your God. On it you are not to do any kind of work, not you, your son or your daughter, not your male or female slave, not your livestock, and not the foreigner staying with you inside the gates of your property. For in 6 days Yehovah made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. This is why Yehovah blessed the day, Shabbat, and separated it for himself. Commandment number 5. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land which Adonai your God is giving you. Commandment 6, do not murder. Commandment 7, do not commit adultery. Commandment 8, do not steal. Commandment 9, do not give false evidence against your neighbor. Commandment 10, do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female slave, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. As may be evident, the first 5 instructions focus on loving Yehovah, and the next 5 on loving your neighbor. Our first exploration will begin with the command to love Yehovah with all your heart, soul, and might. Instruction 1. I am Adonai your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the abode of slavery, is really not as a command, as I said, but a classification of material that explores the character of our beloved Abba. I have delivered many messages delving into the character of Yehovah, so I will not repeat those messages today. However, you may listen to these on our ShareFile program or on Kehillah's website. We will begin with our first command, You are to have no other gods before me. You are not to make for yourselves a carved image or any kind of representation of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them or serve them. For I, Jehovah your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the fourth, third, and fourth generation of those who hate me, but displaying grace to the thousandth generation of those who love me and obey my mitzvot. So what does it mean to have no other gods before me? On the surface, this command seems very simple. We are not to reject Jehovah and begin worshiping Allah, Buddha, Krishna, or any of the multitude of deities existing within the hearts of human beings. And indeed, that is what the surface reading of this life instruction commands us. But let's go deeper. Jehovah wants us to rely on him completely. This means we are not to rely on our own strength. We are not to walk ahead of him in exuberance or delight in the ministries he has assigned us. Let's be very clear about this. Each one of us who has accepted Adonai Yeshua as Messiah and focuses our attention on Jehovah as our Elohim does have a ministry given to us, even though we do not recognize it. The particular tasks assigned have been shared or will be shared with each of us by the Holy Spirit of the living Elohim when we have begun the process of surrendering our will for his. When we rely on our own strength, on our own personal resources, we are rejecting his promise to guide and direct us, leading us to where he wishes us to be. Rejecting him, replacing him with ourselves, is idolatry. Also, idolatrous is chasing after money, possessions, or status. Worry and concern are a form of idolatry, in that they take us from relying on Jehovah and placing the means of our escape from troubles clearly upon our own shoulders. He wants us to focus only on him, as we read in Matthew 6, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough suras or trouble already. The next portion of this command is most interesting. You are not to make for yourselves a carved image or any kind of representation of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water below the shoreline. You are not to bow down to them and serve them, as we read in Exodus 20. On the surface of this instruction, we might infer we are not to have any photograph, painting, sculpture, or drawing of any object, person, or animal in our homes or businesses. Is this what Jehovah meant? Does this mean we must immediately go home and destroy all the photographs we have of our family members or our pets or other people with whom we have relationships? That's what members of Chabad Lubavitch believe. Leviticus 26 shares with us, you are not to make yourselves any idols, erect a carved statue or a standing stone, or place any carved stone anywhere in your land in order to bow down to it. Thus, Orthodox and many conservative Jews believe any freestanding sculpture, irrespective of its purpose, constitutes an idol and must be avoided. Many sects of Orthodox Judaism also reject television and movies because they depict images of people and animals. Known as aniconism, the prohibition against any depiction of things on, in, or under the earth or in heaven takes some strange twists and turns. For example, for Chabad Lubavitch, it is permissible to depict images of the griffin, the dragon, the cyclops, and other mythical creatures since they are not real. However, if any mythical creature has been used as an idol, such as Pan, they are forbidden. In a practical application of this life instruction, the command from Jehovah, we are to avoid any image, picture, sculpture, or photo which depicts the image of Elohim, Adonai Yeshua, Ruach HaKadosh, or any false god. At Kehillah, we attempt to avoid any image of a person or animal which might be viewed as portraying a foreign deity, so as not to offend any visitors. When we do reject him for a foreign god, such as money, power, position, or a myriad of objects or human desires which would draw us away from him, we are told, "For I, Adonai, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." This does sound odd, doesn't it? How is it children will suffer for the sins of parents? Well, we must look deeper into Torah than just the surface meaning, as I have stressed many times before.
When the priest came forth from the holy place in fine linens, they were clothed that day with instruments and voices, with all the voices raised. They cried, "Holy is the Lord Most High, for your love is everlasting. Holy is the Lord Most High, for your love it endures forever." Lift our voice to you as one, and Lord Jesus will forever praise you. Yes, we'll sing to you as one, and we cry, "Holy is the Lord Most High, for your love is everlasting.
Chapter 5, when the priest came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions. And And all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison. When the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, "He indeed is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting," then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And it says, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. How many want to see that glory? See God's glory fill this house. We want to please you, oh God. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you with the instruments, Lord. We praise you with our voices, Lord. Oh, we lift our voices to you, Jesus. Oh, you are. Oh, we worship you, Lord.
Children are subconsciously taught by their parents through modeling. That means however parents behave, children will mimic them. This mimicking includes sinful behavior. I recall watching both my parents smoke, and as a child, I mimicked them by smoking stems of tall grasses and assorted vegetation to be as cool as they were. If the children continue with this behavior into their teenage years and beyond, they are voluntarily accepting the consequences of these actions, since they are of an age to make their own choices. Claiming they didn't know better doesn't cut it with Jehovah, who has given each of us an inherent awareness of good and evil, and has allowed us the ability to choose. Thus, I smoked for 20 years, from the age of 16 to the age of 36. When I was 39, I had my first heart attack. I am sure smoking only acerbated that event. On the other side are the blessings we receive when we worship Him as our Jehovah. Not only to the fourth generation, but to the thousandth generation of those who love Him and obey his mitzvot, his commands. What a promise this is. Hallelujah! But just what are the commands, the mitzvot, which we are required to obey? For these, we must go through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Oh, and did I mention Genesis? Where they are outlined for us quite clearly. And then there are the mitzvot upon which Adonai Yeshua expanded, as we read in the apostolic scriptures. We will not be going through all of these, but we will be focusing on categories of commands which are subsumed within the command, you are to love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your understanding. Notice how Adonai Yeshua has expanded this portion via Haftah, which we collectively pledged this morning. Not only are we to love him with our hearts, souls, and strength, we are also commanded to love Jehovah with all our understanding. Once more, are we introduced to the active portion of his commands to us. How do we love Jehovah with all our understanding? We read. We study with others. We engage in informed discussions and debates. And we continually ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with understanding. But remember, beloved, we do not sit back and wait to be filled with understanding. We have a responsibility to step forward, to actively seek out knowledge. Only then will the Holy Spirit convert that knowledge to wisdom. There are three general categories of instructions and commands we are to follow as outlined in Torah. These are chakim, or instructions without a logical reason. The dietary laws fit into this category. The classic example given are the commands focusing on the red heifer, which even Solomon did not understand. The reasons for these life instructions are only known to Jehovah. Our position is to accept them, even though we may not understand them, and to us they seem irrational. These are known as supra-rational commands. Mishpatim, or instructions which do have logical reasons. Most of these are subsumed under the general command to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the legal and moral instructions which make our society a better place in which to live. Edot, or commemorative instructions, are those commands which focus on the festivals, the Shabbat, and the new moon observance. They also include the wearing of tefillin, tzitzot, when and when not to blow the shofar, etc. Some of these are logical and rational, while others are super rational and therefore beyond our understanding. As we go through these, I will attempt to identify the fences which have been placed around these by rabbis over the ages, and how these fences have prevented us from growing closer to him and his word. As I shared with you earlier, there are a number of life instructions we cannot follow because we are not Levites actively ministering in Jehovah's tabernacle, nor are we living in Israel, as I mentioned to you last Shabbat with the Shemitah laws. However, some of the prophets and at least one apostle has attempted to condense these instructions. For example, King David brought the number of instructions we are to follow down to 11, as we read in Psalm 15. Let's review those. Those who live a blameless life, who behave uprightly, who speak truth from their hearts and keep their tongues from slander, who never do harm to others or seek to discredit neighbors, who look with scorn on the vile, but honor those who fear Jehovah, who hold to an oath no matter the cost, who refuse usury when they lend money, and refuse a bribe to damage the innocent. Isaiah first reduced the number of commands to 6, as we read in Isaiah 33. He whose life is right and whose speech is straight, he who scorns getting rich by extortion, he who shakes his hands free of bribes, stops his ears against talk of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes against looking at evil. In his 56th chapter, the prophet reduced this number to 2. Observe justice, do what is right. The prophet Habakkuk reduced the number of life instructions to 1, as we read in Habakkuk 2. The righteous will attain life through trusting faithfulness. And then comes Rav Shaul, who distilled the commandments of Jehovah to this same principle of faith, as we read in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. While he himself followed all the commandments as a faithful son of Binyamin. And then we have Hillel, who reduced the entire Torah to love your neighbor as yourself. Beloved, over the next few months, I will be sharing with you the instructions we are to follow while we are living outside of Israel. As the various festivals arise, we will focus on those and then return to these teaching messages. I pray you will be informed, enlightened, and encouraged by these. Abba Father, blessed Jehovah, blessed Adonai Yeshua, blessed Ruach HaKadosh, I thank you for teaching us your ways. I thank you for drilling deeply into our hearts, minds, and souls, and placing within and on our hearts the instructions that you wish us to observe. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshichenu. In your beloved name we pray. Amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what all kingdoms, above all thrones. above all.